Meditation today is still on the topic of healing, but today I want to address the identity crisis. When it comes to healing. On this trip that we did, for the first time I went through the country of Colombia. Never been in Colombia before. And it's quite a journey. It's more it's more upsetting if you let it get to your skin than delightful, having so many connections. But on my way back, something happened that really caught my eyes. I get off of a plane for some odd reason that only the Colombia government can understand. The plane doesn't park at the airport itself where you can just walk through. It parks like 3 miles away, 4 miles away. And then you come out straight into a bus. Then you go through a long walkway to go through metal detectors. I asked the official, what's the meaning of this? I don't understand your question. I just came through a metal detector straight into an airplane. I got off of the airplane into your bus, and now I'm here. I don't understand why I have to go through the metal detector again. This is our law. Fair enough, it's your country. So you go along with this. On that journey, from the airplane to the metal detector, there was a couple. He was on his mid-60s, and she was about early 60s. These two young people, put it this way, were walking very fast. The race to get first to the metal detector. All right? I said, you can't walk faster than I because I'm young and I have longer legs. To my surprise, when we came to the metal detectors, there were 6 people with wheelchairs. And they are going towards the wheelchair guys. So I stop. Do you request wheelchair? Yes. And they had the audacity to sit on the wheelchair and be wheeled all the way to the terminal on the other side of the airport. What? And I'm in disbelief. And of course, disgusted with this. A voice whispered in my ears, why are you so disgusted? I said, hello? These guys were running, racing me to get to the metal detector, and now they're sitting on wheelchairs. The Lord said, they will end their lives on a wheelchair. So I said, whoa. May I ask, is that a curse? I said, no. As they continue to do what they are doing, they will end up seeing themselves as such. I thought, wow, this is wild. And then from that point forth, they were all like this. And they happened to come on the same plane that I was. And lo and behold, they got ahead of us in the plane. So that's the gig, huh? Okay. When we got off of the plane at Washington Dulles, lo and behold, they wrestle towards that big ugly bus that takes you from, Georgia and bring you back to the terminal. And these folks are, when we come close to the immigration stop, here comes the people with the wheelchair. And they go. And they sit on the wheelchair too. The only thing is the folks on the immigration did not allow wheelchair people to go first. They had to join the line. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? We pass through immigration, clear immigration, everything else, and we are coming now waiting for our baggage to go through customers. They had about 8 dogs, sniffing dogs. And I'm thinking, why so many dogs, sniffing dogs here? But then I realized, Colombia, we are coming from Bogota. There's about 100 Asians. And the flight had 140 people. Wow. And, you know, I try to be reasonable, but I'm a very logical guy. And sometimes things don't quite make sense to me. Well, one of the dogs got aroused, and this dog was barking and barking and barking. So, the guy grabbed the suitcase, the officer. Put it in here, and the dog is barking. He wants to tear the thing apart. He asked me, is that your suitcase? I said, no, 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 no. This old guy that was racing, then went to the wheelchair, now he's standing, and he's like this. The officer asked, is that your suitcase? And he's like that. Hello, excuse me. Is that your suitcase? Yes. What was inside? I don't know and I don't care. You may say, what does it got to do with healing? Beloved, according to the Bible, and we're going to get to that point in a very few minutes, the perspective that you have about your life and about yourself will have an impact on your future. I was shocked when the Lord said that those folks will end up in a wheelchair, because by doing that so long and too much, they will end up getting used and accustomed to the idea of a wheelchair, and that's where they're going to land. Then I start thinking, how many of us, not y'all, but how many people in the church, we'll carry a handicap sign that they bought at the MVA, a friend who works on the MVA, and they give them $200 and they get a disabled sign. And their fat butts don't want to work, and they will come and take a spot of somebody that is legally disabled, and then they hang up the blue thing in there, right? And go inside, do their shopping, and come back, sit down. When they leave, they take and keep it again when they have nothing wrong with them. Are you with me so far? Amen. Well, I'm going to say this. You will not get away with it. Why? For a very simple reason. And I want you to stay with me today. Don't get upset until I finish, will you? The way you see your life shapes the way that you live. The way you see your life shapes the way that you behave. The way that you define your life will determine your destiny. Your perspective of life will influence how you invest your time, your talents. The way that you view your life will influence how you spend your money and how we value our relationships. One of the best ways to understand other people is to ask them a simple question. How do you see your life? You will discover that there are as many different answers to this question as there are many different people. Throughout my life, when I ask this question to people, I have got so many crazy answers to this question that it's amazing. And I am sure that if I would ask us here, our congregation today, how do they see life, I would have a truckload of different answers. Are you with me? Some people have told me that life is a circus. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I have heard some people say that life is a minefield. I have people telling me that life is a roller coaster. Some will say that life is a puzzle. Some people will say that life is a symphony. Others will say that life is a journey and a dance. Some people have said that life is a carousel. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, and sometimes you just go around and around. Have you heard that before? Some people have said that life is a 10-speed bicycle with gears that we will never use. Some other people, I have heard that so many times, says that life is like a game of cards. You have to play the hand you're dealt. Have you heard that before? So what's wrong with it? Well, nothing is wrong. But the way, the perspective that you have of life will pretty much influence and decide your future. If you think that you are sick, and you have been talking about that sickness and that disease, if Jesus Christ would have come here, pray for you, you still may not be healed. Because you've got used to think that you're sick. You've got used to talk that you're sick. And you enjoy the attention that you have. That's right, baby. Even the child got it. I hope that the adults are getting this too. Folks, if I ask, how do we picture life? If I ask you, what do you, or how do you picture your life? What image would come to your mind? Are you with me so far? If I would ask you right now, how do you picture your life? What is the first image that comes to you? Well, is that important? Yes. That image that will first come to your life is your life metaphor. What do you mean? It's the view of life that you hold, whether you hold it consciously or unconsciously. It's the picture that is in your mind. It's your description of how life works and what you expect from it. Are we still together here? People often express their life metaphors through jewelry, clothing, cars, hairstyle, bump stickers, and in some cases, tattoos. Let me tell you this. The more I have studied lately, the more I have come to the conclusion that our unspoken life metaphor influences our life more than what we realize. It will determine our expectations. So if your life metaphor is that you've been through a long winter of sickness, the expectation is going to be very little about getting healed. And chances are, if you do get healed, you might feel weird because you've been through a long winter. Am I getting to somebody here? Your values, I mean, the way that you think and you look at life will influence your values and your relationships, your goals and your priorities. Okay, preacher, you already said that. Now break it down for me. Here we go. For instance, if you think life is a party, guess what? Your primary goal in life will be having fun. Is anybody with me here? If you think, or if you see life as a race, you will probably value speed and be in a hurry most of the time. Are we still together?
Yes.
If you view your life as a marathon, you will value endurance. If you see life as a battle or a game, winning will be very important to you. Is there anything wrong with that? Not necessarily. So what is your view of life? Why is that important, preacher? Well, here's why it's important. It is important because we may be basing our life in a faulty metaphor. And while we are basing our life on a faulty metaphor, in the wrong view of life, we can never fully enjoy God's blessings, God's healing for our lives. We can never grow up, to develop to the full potential of what we have been created for. So how do I go about this? We will have to challenge conventional wisdom and replace it with biblical life metaphors. Well, I don't understand why this thing is so important. I don't know why you're beating up on this so hard. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7, you have heard this scripture 1,000 times, so let's make 1,001. Read it with me. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. If you are always thinking that you are sick, you will be chronically sick all the time. Because the metaphor that you have for life will influence on your future. Well, but I have pain. Yes. You can't talk about anything else. What are you meant to do? I have pain. Well, what about when the pain comes, you quote the scripture I gave you in Romans 8:37. No! No to your pain. Because I am overwhelmingly victorious in Christ Jesus. Back off. You know, on this trip, good grief. I get into the airport, I sit down waiting for the plane. The guy on my neck says, "Achoo!" I don't like this. So when they turn around, the girl on the other side, "Achoo!" When they get up to go to another seat, the fellow over here, "Achoo!" I said, "You know what? No. No. Cold cannot get to this body because I'm overwhelmingly victorious in Christ Jesus." Well, the first round, the first leg of the trip, both people on the left side, on the right side, and the one in front of me, "Achoo!" So I looked to see if it was the same people, and it was not. And then it starts resounding all over the plane. Everybody's sneezing. But I'm saying, no. You are not allowed to jump into this body. I am overwhelmingly victorious through Christ Jesus. Well, as soon as we land in Colombia, here I go. Achoo! I said, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you." No. In the name of Jesus, Paul Santos is healed by the stripes of Jesus, and no cold can get to this body. Back off. The little lady close to me asks, "Are you all right?" So, "Oh, yes, I am." "Okay, just asking." Because I shouted at the airport. And then I realize I'm shouting here and everybody's looking at me. Well, jump on the second plane. And then it was like a choir. One sneeze here, another one here, another one here, another one there, another one there. 60% of their plane is sneezing. The guy that's sitting beside me, he's about 400 pounds. And the chair is about 6 inches. The seat. So when he sits, he takes 3 inches of my 6 inches chair. So half of my back is hanging. He look at me and say, "Oh man, it's bad." "Achoo!" I said, "No. By the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Paul Santos is healed. Completely healed, totally healed, absolutely healed. And nothing is going to change." He looked at me, "What'd you say?" I said, "Don't mind, don't worry." Why did I have to do this so many times? And it was the whole trip, back and forth. The Bible said that as you think in your heart, so you are. Well, preacher, but this is the allergy season, not for me. It's the allergy season for whoever out there, not for me. The way that I see myself will determine my future. It will influence my decisions, the way that I live, the way that I relate to people. And I chose not to accept it. I have chosen to define and to challenge, rather, conventional wisdom and replace it with biblical metaphor. And the biblical metaphor is, they overcame, they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, folks, it will take some work. It will take some work. And that work will take place right in here, right up there in your head. Listen to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Read it with me. Romans 12, 2. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Now, isn't it what we do today? And this is why we are in an identity crisis in the church today. Oh, this is Poland. Pollen. It's pollen season. Not for me. The culture says so. I happen to disagree with the culture. Plain and simple. And this is the reason why I am not too stuck with the television. You turn on that piece of garbage, and then there's so many commercials while I'm sitting down at the airport waiting for the plane. The lousy, constant negative news was on. What? Constant negative news. CNN. It is on. And my Lord, if they had 50 commercials, 49 was about you're going to get sick, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but you should use this and this and that and the other. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I am not getting sick. End of story. As a man thinks in his heart, so it is. So don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, here's the catch. Fix your attention on God. Why? You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you. Quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. You know, the way that we see ourselves, and I'm going to hammer on this again, especially when you come to healing, will influence the way that we respond to things. And it's time for us to change our identity. Amen? So, preacher, what's the conclusion for this whole thing? I need you to give me a few more minutes. The Bible often offers us three metaphors that teaches us God's view of life for you and I. And here they are. Number one, life is a test. Number two, life is a temporary assignment. And number three, life is a trust. T-R-U-S-T. These are the foundation for a prosperous, healthy, purposeful life. So today I'm going to address only life is a test because of the constraint of time. Life on earth is a test. Say amen.
Amen.
This life metaphor is seen throughout the Bible in different stories. Throughout the Bible, we can find that God continually tests people's character. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Throughout the Bible, we find that God is testing people's faith. God is testing people's love. God is testing people's obedience, integrity, and loyalty. Did you know that words like temptation, refining, trials, and tests appear more than 200 times in the Bible? God tested Abraham by asking him to offer his son Isaac. Do we have an amen here?
Amen.
What's the point, preacher? Life is a test. God tested Jacob when he had Jacob to work an extra 7 years to earn Rachel as his wife. Do I have an amen here too?
Amen.
Adam and Eve failed their first test in the Garden of Eden. Do I have an amen?
Amen.
King David failed some of his tests from God. But, this is the important one, the Bible also gives us the affirmation that David was a man according to God's own heart. Is that correct? So what is the big deal? Life is a test. The Bible also gives us many examples of people who passed a great test in life, such as Joseph. Is that correct? Another person that passed a great test in life was Ruth, having to abandon her country, her family, her relatives, everything else, her culture, to join the culture of her mother-in-law that she didn't have to care for. Did she pass the test? She became the grandmother of King David, and she's on the Messiah lineage. We have another fellow by the name of Daniel that went through tests several times, and he passed all of them. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Well, some of you may be thinking, well, preacher, I hear all what you say, but why does God have to test us? It's a fair question. Well, number one, do you realize that the character is developed and revealed by tests? Did you know that? Your spiritual character, and I would even venture to say, your material character will be developed and revealed by tests. Therefore, all of life is a test. What do you mean? We are always being tested. God constantly watches our response to people, to problems, to conflicts, to success, to disappointment, to illnesses, and even to the weather. What? Yes. Even to the weather. Here we are, South America. We land, I'm expecting to have some nice sunshine. And the rain is pouring down so heavy. I go, oh. So wait a minute. Sorry, Lord. I love rain. I love rain. And because of that, all the days I was down there rained every single day. I said sorry. I forgave you. But still going to have rain the whole 7 days. Are you going to complain against? No, sir. I love rain. Well, we are in the summer. When we land in the United States of America, I looked through the window, and it was pouring. I said, blessed be the name of the Lord for this wonderful rain. The guy next to me said, what'd you say? Don't worry. Something between me and my God. Life is a test. And God is looking at us to see how we react. Are we still together? He even watches the simplest actions, such as when we open the door to somebody else at the supermarket. Or when we pick up a piece of trash. Or when we are polite toward a clerk or a waitress that has not treated us fairly. Folks, we don't know all the tests God will give us, but we can predict some of them based on the Bible. It's fair to say that we will be tested by major changes. What? Yeah, people don't like changes. Or is it only me? Amen?
Amen.
People will be tested by delayed promises. Can I have an amen here?
Amen.
We will be tested by impossible problems and unanswered prayers. Is that an amen here?
Amen.
We will be tested by undeserved criticism and many times even senseless tragedies. You know, you preacher, unfortunately, have noticed that God will test his faith by the way that he responds to problems. What do you mean? I'm telling you that my faith is tested through problems. I didn't get it. We had a deadline, got to pay $125,000. You know, that is good enough to take you sleep during the night. And you don't have that money in the bank. And you already signed a contract. This is when my faith really get into gear. Well, Lord, it's time for you to come through. You said for me to do it, and I'm doing it. And this is when that faith thing kind of grow, kicks in. Life is a test. You know, I don't know with you, but with me, my hope is tested by the way that I handle possessions. What? Yeah. We all have hopes for the future. Is that correct? Well, my hope is tested by the way that I handle possession. So how do I keep my hope high? I make sure that I don't get attached to possessions. And here comes one that may surprise you. My love for God is tested through people. What? My love for God is tested through people. And that's the most difficult for me. And I'm still working on this. But you know what? Life is a test. What do you mean you love is tested through people? There are some people that have the gift to take you out of seriousness. Do I have an amen here?
Amen.
They know how to pinch that nerve. Now I want you to pay attention to this. This is one of the very and most important tests that you will ever have in your life. God will test you to know how you act when you can't feel God's presence in your life. I don't believe in that. That's your business. But whether we like it or not, God will test you and I to see how we act, not how we feel, how we act when we don't feel God's presence in our lives. What that means, sometimes God intentionally draws back and we don't sense his closeness with us. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, verse 31, there was a man by the name of Hezekiah. He went through this test. Read it with me. Shall you? Shall we? Second Chronicles 32, 31. However, when ambassadors from Babylon to ask about the remarkable events that had taken place in the land. Ha ha. Are you seeing what I'm seeing here?
Yes.
You see what the Bible says? That God withdrew from Hezekiah. What for? To test him and to see what really was in his heart. What you're saying, preacher? This is one of the most difficult tests that you and I will go through in life. There's going to be time that God is going to back off to see how we act when we can't sense his presence around us. Are we together so far?
Yes.
So if you're not sensing God's presence, that's all right. It's a test. It's not going to last forever. Now make sure that you respond on the right way. Are we together so far?
Yes.
Hezekiah had enjoyed a close fellowship with God. But at a crucial point in his life, God left him alone. You know why? To test his character. And also to reveal a weakness. And to prepare him for more responsibility. When we understand that life is a test, we will realize that nothing in our life is insignificant. Even the smallest incident has significance for our character development. Every day is an important day. Every second is a growth opportunity to deepen our character and to demonstrate love and to depend on our God. You know, folks, some tests might seem overwhelming. Others, you don't even notice. But all of them have eternal implications in our lives. The good news is that God wants you and I to pass all the tests of life. And so, He never allows the tests you and I face to be greater than the grace He has given us to handle them. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Would you care to read it with me? The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. But get this, God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, I want you to touch your neighbor and say, you know what? We can endure temptation. We can endure trials. Beloved, every time you and I pass a test, God notices and makes plan to reward us even more. Say amen.
Amen.
Every time that you and I pass a test, God notices this and make plans to bless us even more. So what is the conclusion, preacher? Here's the conclusion. The church today is living in an identity crisis mode. You may have been given a bad report by your physician. You may have been given a really horrible diagnosis. Or maybe your financial planner, if you have one, may have said you're done. That's nothing more than a test. Maybe God is testing your hopes. Just by watching the way that you handle your possessions. Are we together so far?
Yes.
Nevertheless, James 1:12 has a promise for us. If the doctor says that you have a disease that can't be cured, don't look at yourself in the way that the doctors do. They cannot see the whole picture. Your God does. Anyone who meets a you know, I want you to read it again with me, because I want you to get this. Life is a test. And being tested is not bad. It's actually good. Because the test of life will prove in what kind of character we have. It's going to develop the character that we have to become more like Jesus Christ. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mightily fortunate. Reach out to your neighbor and say, you are mightily fortunate.
I am mightily fortunate.
You better believe. For such persons loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. There is life around the corner and more life, because you're going to meet it heads on and we're going to stick with God's view of us. The distorted view of ourselves got to go. The identity crisis has to leave, because at the end of the day, you and I are overwhelmingly victorious to Christ Jesus. Tell your neighbor, you're not a victim, you are a victor in Jesus' name. God bless you. Praise God.